Radioactive Sports in the Afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
How would you grade yourself as a dad?
A+. A+.
You know, you ought to be worried, Mike. I mean, sit down, think about it a little bit, and worry a little bit about what's going on here. I mean, you got Chicago, you got Memphis, you got St. Louis. You should start worrying a bit. Superstar Mike Morris, Ben Holson, Radioactive Sports. We just heard a little soundbite also from the father of the year, Adrian Peterson, grading himself with an A+. Met with Roger Goodell.
I think he might still be meeting with Roger Goodell. The meeting was a pretty long meeting. Supposedly, earlier today, he had to meet with the psychologist that Roger Goodell and the NFL said that he had to meet with. So he met with her for about an hour before he ended up meeting with Roger Goodell at 1 o'clock Central Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Time. In New York to seek reinstatement from the NFL.
April 15th.
Simply saying he wants a fresh start. Quote, telling SportsCenter, I'm anxious to start a new chapter and get on with the rest of my life. Peterson added that he's eager to share what he and his family went through while he was out of football last year. Goodell indicated that he wants to hear both that Peterson feels remorse for what he did to his son and that Peterson has taken steps to ensure that he's a better father in the future. I'm not sure all that's going to work out.
There's part of it for me that I can't buy into because of sort of like the texting and everything was sort of cutesy and it was almost some humor thrown into some of those texts that were sent to the mother at the time that we knew about when this first broke.
Oopsies, got him once in the nuts.
And that's the thing that kind of irks me, is that he was told to say he's sorry, so I don't think it's genuine. I think he has to kind of get what he wants, which is to be back on the football field and under a certain time frame. So I think that's his agenda. I don't know how sorry you can act or what you can say that you're actually sorry and mean it, but I just think that it kind of sold to me that he thought it was kind of cute. That, for me, was what he was and who he was at the time. Now, you can say whatever you want to now, but it's too late. That's who you were when you were striking this kid. Even after, if you went too far and you could see that you'd done that to a child, would you really pick up the phone and start texting the kinds of things that we heard and we read right here on this show?
Well, what happens if the fact that his mental fortitude is that of his 4-year-old son? Because that's almost what it seems. He's like a child in an adult man's body that plays in the NFL. Very tough, very muscular.
He's a huge, huge, strong man.
A very beast of a running back.
He is.
One of the best players in the NFL. But when it comes to what's in between his ears, it seems like, Adrian Peterson, I'm not really sure that you know what's going on. But at the same time, how could he not feel remorse after sitting out for a year? After everything that he's done? After all the embarrassment he has to face, after all the endorsements he's lost, but yet he continues to speak through his agent, Ben Dogra, saying, we don't want to be in Minnesota. Feel uneasy being in Minnesota. I want out of there. I don't feel it's my best opportunity or in my best interest to play for the Minnesota Vikings.
If I had to predict what was going to happen, I'd say he's not going to be here.
What? Now? I know it changes every other day because...
I pretty much always said that.
Really?
I do. I'm glad that they're playing the card that they're playing, trying to force him to play. And he would have to. I know Adrian wouldn't sit out any more football games. There's no way that guy's going to sit out again.
But I think there's a difference in what you're saying. There's a difference in will he be here or do you want him to be here?
I don't think he'll be here. I want him here.
See, I feel the complete opposite. I don't necessarily want him here. I mean, I do, but I don't because he's just been a giant jackass.
Okay, let me put it differently. I want to renege what I said, too, just a little bit. I really am unhappy with Adrian. Like, he'll never be the same guy for me, ever. As a football player, talking just football, who wouldn't want this guy on your team? We've already got him on contract for 3 years. Who wouldn't want that guy on their team for 3 years? We do. Do I really want him here? I don't really want him here. I'm like you. Let's let him move on. But you have to have the right thing. You have to have the right cards dealt to have what you need to let that happen.
But at the same time, I would almost take a 7th-round draft pick from the Jacksonville Jaguars just so he has to go down there and rot on a terrible team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a little payback.
That'd
all right, sucker,
fun.
you ruined the Minnesota Vikings season last year. You... As a fan,
yeah, that'd be funny. That'd be kind of funny.
We had to talk nothing about you for the last 10 to 12 months. about your indictment, about this and about that, about your constant anger with the Minnesota Vikings or the fans, or we're kicking you while we're down, or Chris Carter or Kevin Warren or whatever you're angry about today.
Chris Carter, of course. He threw his two cents in.
Of course he did.
Slap ass.
But seriously, 651-989-9105. I want to hear from you and your cars. You, the people listening that are Vikings fans or Adrian Peterson fans or whatever you are. If Adrian Peterson is coming back to the Minnesota Vikings and he's ruled to be reinstated here in the next couple of days after this meeting with Roger Goodell today, how do you feel now that he's back with the Minnesota Vikings? Do you forgive and forget everything once he rips off a 78-yard run for a touchdown against the Green Bay Packers? Or is that thing in the back of your mind, and are you going to boo him when he's, you know, introduced at TCF Bank Stadium coming up next year? I mean, what are your true, honest-to-God feelings? Obviously, we've heard at the beginning, that's how they do it in the South, and Adrian said he's sorry.
That's what he was saying, too. In front of the grand jury, that's what he was saying, was that I'm sorry that this is how I discipline my kids.
And I was fine with Adrian Peterson saying he was sorry.
You understand that, though. Yeah. I mean, he honestly doesn't think he did anything wrong. He has to apologize to the rest of us for not understanding how he takes care of his kids and how he disciplines his kids. But he says, I think he was tearful when he was down in Texas during...
After the court proceedings.
During summer.
Yeah.
He actually went in and showed them the switch, or a type of switch that he would use on one of his kids. And he said, I'm sorry that this is the way I mean, it completely changes what sorry means to him.
Sure, but then again, like, I've gone back and forth on Adrian Peterson because the whole switching thing, do I think he needed to stay out the entire rest of the regular season? I don't personally. But then when he was here for the federal court and saying, you know, he's uneasy about coming back, or of course I'll come back, or through his agent Ben Dogger getting in a fight with Rob Brzezinski at the Combine in Indianapolis, saying Adrian Peterson will never play for you again, and Adrian Peterson doesn't feel comfortable coming back to the Minnesota Vikings. Then I flip-flopped again and saying, dude, either Minnesota Vikings are right in holding his feet to the fire and saying, we own your rights, man. I mean, you're under contract, and we're paying you a ton of money. And we're going to do what we
have paid him a ton of money for nothing.
We're going to do what we darn right please to do, because guess what? We paid you a ton of guaranteed money. We're going to pay you $12.75 million. And if you don't want to come back and play, then go ahead and retire. But 651-989-9105, share your thoughts, because it obviously opening just another raw wound, raw nerve. 651-989-9105.
It's a live wire. We're going to take a little break. Come on back. We'll talk the talk again. Adrian Peterson. What's he going to do? What do we want? What do we need as fans here with Adrian Peterson for this upcoming season next?
You know, we fully expect him to be here. It's no different. I think that he's done some unbelievable things in our community and in the state. And, we're supporting him until he gets back. And all his teammates are excited to get him back, and coaches and organization and fans. So it should be all systems go.
Head coach Mike Zimmer with his comments regarding the property of the Minnesota Vikings, Adrian Peterson. They expect him back. He's on contract. What do you people think? We ask you to call 651-989-9105. If you had any comments or anything you'd like to add to the show, who do we have on line one?
Phil from White Bear Lake, you are on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. What's up, Phil?
Hey, Ben. Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on. For the most part, I just want to add in my two cents that, you know, the average fan, Vikings fan, we understand the difficult situation that he went through, and, as far as rearing a child. But I think it'll really hit the fan once preseason comes along. If he's still along and still acting like a baby, he's going to put himself in the same category as Chuck Knoblauch. Right now, I mean, we have him on the pedestal as a Kirby Puckett, but the guy, if he leaves, we ain't going to want him back. We ain't going to want him around. I mean, he's an awesome guy in the community. I mean, a cool guy to be around, a man's man, but the way he's carrying himself, I mean, when you really look into it as far as his legal situation, what did he learn about his accountability for his actions? Now his actions are just the same, immature. So,
no, I think you're right. You're right on, Phil from White Bear Lake. Thanks for calling, man. But Superstar, you were down at training camp last year in Mankato, and I remember you reporting back to us where Adrian Peterson must have had a sit down with somebody, Mike Zimmer or something, saying he's a completely changed man. He got married.
Yep.
He's going to church.
Yep.
Leslie Frazier helped him get through a tough period in his life that he wasn't necessarily proud of. And he's a changed guy, and it's all about God, 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 God when it comes to this. That obviously seems to have changed or evolved or something in the last 9-10 months, because it seems to be all this anger coming out of Adrian Peterson. And if you're a changed guy and you're a great guy and you're a family man now and you're doing this and you're doing that and you're trying to get right with your wife and your faith or whatever it is, you don't act like that.
Yeah, I mean, what's happened here is he made a huge mistake. He got caught. I don't think he ever thought that that gal was going to send those pictures. Actually, when he came back home, the child, the four-year-old, came back to his mother here in Minnesota. She took him to the doctor. I don't know whether it was for just a checkup or to see what these marks looked like.
It was a previously scheduled appointment.
Okay, so it was a previously scheduled appointment, and the doctor noticed what he noticed, and then it came out.
Because things are completely different in Minnesota than they are in Texas, thank God.
And I think
that.
Most anywhere.
Yeah.
And here's what happens when you have had everything kind of your way. I understand what his family life was like when he was growing up. Apparently pretty tough. But at the same time, since high school and probably all the way through high school, college, and now pro, he's been given everything and pretty much, you know, taken care of. Mm. Taken care of. And now he's not happy with the way we're treating him. He's not happy that we're not saying the right things, that we're making way too much out of something that he's done, and he's not going to have it. And it's a babyish, immature way to act.
Well, I'm not happy with the way he's treating me as a guy.
That too.
Especially as a guy that pays a lot of money to buy his jersey, pays a lot of money to go to the games, pays a lot of money to drink those beers at the game, pays a lot of money to pay for parking to go to the game.
Of course.
Pays a lot of money to do this and to do that, make sure that I have the right cable package so I can watch the game if it's on a Thursday
sure.
night.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot invested here, and I don't appreciate the way that he's treated me, especially his son. First and foremost, but the rest of us as fans. We're talking Adrian Peterson here. 651-989-9105. He supposedly the meeting just ending with Roger Goodell and the NFL league offices about his possible reinstatement. Tim from Rogers, you're on 105 The Ticket.
Yeah, hi. I just want to say I'm sick of society catering to athletes and criminals getting off too easy. I'd be perfectly happy if Rick Spielman just sat there and said, you know what, Adrian's part of the team. We'll see him in Mankato in July. I'm not saying anything more. That's what we're doing. If Adrian shows up, great. He'll get his money. If not, then he can stay in Texas. Thanks.
That's having the feet to the fire. That's what we've been talking about.
That's basically what he's doing, right?
I mean, he is. That's the card he's playing. But I think the caller from Rogers suggested that he would like to see this followed through on and nothing done in the way of a trade. I'm not that way for a 30-year-old running back with injuries beyond belief, actually, for a running back, and he still finds a way to run still. But if I could get, you know, something really nice for a guy like this, look, he's still probably going to be a really good football player for two or three more years.
Well, the Vikings cave at the getting closer to the NFL draft or when some team's on the
that's what I
pick?
I think they'll
cave with what? Just a single first-round draft pick or a second-round pick? Or, I mean, there's got to be somebody that falls that they'd
like.
It'd
have to be blockbuster, and I think the Vikings would do it. Otherwise, you got Adrian Peterson in your backfield with Teddy Bridgewater leading the way. And I think that, you know, that's not a bad combination, having him back, to be honest. But that is one exceptional football player. If you can force him to play again, you've got a pretty good running back.
Really good running back.
Understatement of the year.
But just for how many more years? Because obviously he's at that magical 30-year-old mark. It's running back's decline.
It's pretty tough. And he came off of a surgery. We talked about this endlessly. We have for a long time. But he let us down. We sat for 15 weeks while he was sitting down.
But yet he says we let him down.
We got let down. We had a whole season that we had to put on the back burner because our number one guy wasn't in the backfield. And we pulled up the reins. We cinched up the reins and tried to, you know, rally the troops. We had Asiata. We had McKinnon. We had everyone back there at one point. And, they had a decent average as a running back by committee sort of way of taking care of business.
Especially with an offensive line that was completely in tatters.
We managed seven games with a rookie quarterback who gave it everything he had to try and pick up that system and make something out of it with everyone injured around him. Yeah. And you know what? Adrian would have made the difference for Teddy, too. He let Teddy down.
Yeah. He needs to apologize to fans, the organization, and his teammates. I mean, I'm dead set on that. Well, obviously, we're talking about Adrian Peterson had a meeting today with Roger Goodell, had a meeting today with the NFL and the league offices in New York, also had a meeting with a psychologist, a psychiatrist, one or the other, that Roger Goodell had said that Adrian Peterson needed to meet with if he wants to be reinstated by April 15th. 651-989-9105. Michael from Hugo, you're on 105 The Ticket.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling, man.
So to answer your questions that you were asking earlier, personally, no. I don't want him back on the team. I think he's an embarrassment to the team. I think he's an embarrassment to the state, and I don't like having him associated with us. If I'm the Vikings, though, I hold on to him until I can get a great deal. And anything short of a great deal, he's under contract, and he's going to play, or he can sit out and not be paid. I don't think we should let the inmates run the asylum here. You know, he's, like you guys have said, he's been handed everything on a silver platter all his life, and he's getting some reality right now, and we need to keep it real for him.
I think, well put. I think it's very well said that, you know, there's you hear athletes come out all the time on TV and on radio, and you hear them talk about it. I understand. People have to understand that this is a business. You know, this is a business, what we do here. It's a game, and you get to see us play 16 times a year. But when it comes contract time, it's a business. Well, guess what? The Vikings have you on the books for 3 more years. That's just the business. So if you understand what this is really all about, you understand what kind of money we have invested in you, and we know that you have to line up and suit up and play for us because it's the business of it. We employ you. So if he doesn't like it, he can sit out there and pay an astronomical fee for missing every day of camp.
That and then probably never play in the NFL again.
I mean,
because
he sits out. He's another year on a running back sitting out. No, I don't think so.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. We'll go to Phil. Let's see here. Hi, 105 The Ticket. Who's this?
It's Jack.
Jack. What's going on, man? You're on 105 The Ticket.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you guys can answer this for me. I got a question. What if he does sit? What does he get paid? Does he get paid? Does he get signed? What are the specifics if he says, no, I'm not playing, I'm going to sit because I'm acting like a baby or whatever he's doing? What do they have to do to him? What then? That's all I got to ask.
It's a great question. I wish I could handle the whole question and answer it for you correctly. He won't get paid. I know that. But the fines, not sure of what the collective bargaining agreement would assess.
But he would get fined if he was missing
camp,
mandatory minicamp.
And mandatory appearances during summer.
And then training camp.
Unless he was excused
fine.
By it. But you can be excused for a certain length of time by the coaches. Or they can even say, other than the minicamps, the OTAs are not mandatory. Hmm. And he certainly is not. Not one that they would want in for those at all. But
then again, at the same time, after missing an entire year, how are the Vikings, and especially with the way Adrian Peterson has acted the last couple of months, why in their right minds would they ever excuse him from training camp? He needs to be there. They need to see what they have.
I don't
mean
training camp. They're not going to excuse him from training camp, but I'm talking about the summer OTAs and mini camps.
Okay.
They'll have probably 2 to 3, I'm guessing 3 mini camps over the last 3 months heading into training camp. Oh, no. No, no. I mean, but hell, he doesn't do anything in training camp either. I mean, for the past couple of years, he hasn't put on pads or done anything in an exhibition game.
And so going into this year, obviously the Vikings didn't play him at all in the exhibition season last year. Do you do the same exact thing again this year? Because, I mean,
I play him into shape. And I find out what he is. And the grace period is over.
Yeah.
I mean, now you got to go back and earn some of that $8 million you got on right off the cuff from the Wilfs last season.
Yeah.
And you got to show us you still have something and that injury is back in 100%. You got to at least line up in practice and put the pads on. He wasn't doing that last year either.
Because he plays one game in the regular season, the rest of his contract guaranteed through the rest of the year because he's a veteran. Frank from St. Paul, you're on 105 The Ticket. We're talking Adrian Peterson. What's up, Frank?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've got 3 points. One is, I think a lot of the game at this level, and certainly the superstar can comment on this, a lot of the game is mental. And if Adrian isn't in the game 100%, then I don't know that I'd want to bet $12.7 million on somebody that isn't engaged. I think this. So with that, I would go move the guy, trade him, do whatever's the smartest thing for the team to get somebody in. I'd rather have somebody that's going to give every ounce and leave it all on the field than somebody that's going to whine about, you know, publicity. I think the last piece is, I'm so sick of Adrian Peterson and the whining about it. I don't want to hear about it. I want to hear about football. I don't dial up a news station or a financial news station to listen to some CEO talk about his golf game. I listen to the CEO to talk about his business. So I want Adrian Peterson to be talking about football and not about his issues with his family. I hope the Twins get better, but I hope the Vikings trade him and everybody moves on and is happy. Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate your call.
Thanks, Frank.
I think that, and I don't know if you agree completely. I understand where he's coming from, and I don't think that Adrian Peterson is the type that you can hold down and or would say I just don't have it today. Like, that's just not his makeup. Mm. Every fiber of that guy wants to find the goal line. Every fiber of Adrian Peterson wants to advance the football. And I don't think you ever have to worry about him running hard. But I do think that the Vikings would like to play the card. We're not going to move him, period. He's ours until someone says, but wait just a minute. How about this, though?
Yeah, blow him away. Blow the Vikings away, and they'll hopefully, you know, then everything will be settled. But after 4 hours, according to Andrew Brandt from SportsCenter, after 4 hours, Peterson reinstatement meeting at the NFL league offices with Roger Goodell is now concluded. The lawyer would say, quote, he answered all the questions. That's all the lawyers would say. No comments. Otherwise, he answered all of their questions. The meeting after 4 hours, Adrian Peterson, the NFL league offices with Roger Goodell is over. So we'll just have to wait and see what the decision is and if it comes before or after or on April 15th, like previously scheduled.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. And by the way, this just in. Ooh, big breaking news.
Really?
Not really. The Jets and ex-Vikings linebacker Aaron Henderson agreed to terms on a one-year deal.
Damn it, Maverick!
Why didn't we go back and pick him up? I don't know. We're going to come on back with Jim Rich. I don't know if that's enough for you people, but it's certainly enough for Ben and I. That's our favorite part of the day.
We got to talk about the Minnesota Wild and their giant collapse, and I'll ask the same question I've been asking Jim Rich for the last 3 days, last 4 days, since, I didn't want to say, maybe it was since yesterday, I think it was, just one day. Are you worried yet? Are you worried? Three straight losses in a row at home, and now they go on the road, and they play some very tough teams, all playoff teams. Chicago tonight, at Nashville Thursday, at St. Louis to wrap up the regular season on Saturday. I'm worried.
I'm worried.
Mike Yeo's not worried. Jim Rich said yesterday he wasn't worried.
Come on back.
See if he is today.
Hell, Radioactive Sports. Find out if everyone's worried or not next.
Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
That hurt. Oh, jeez. I'm not worried. I got it caught.
I'm not worried.
Give them credit. They made us fight for every inch out there. And I do feel we went into the game with a lot of emotion. And I don't know that we controlled it necessarily the best way. I felt that, like, there was some tension tonight in our game. I think that was kind of how you explain a lot of the just kind of rolling pucks and some of the misplays that, you know, just seemed to be happening. But it was a pretty even game. But obviously we didn't do enough.
Tell me, though, do you feel worried about it?
I'm not worried.
Okay.
I'm worried.
I'm a little bit worried. I have to tell you, I'm a little bit worried. Even though they could lose every game, they're on the road. They've got a 10-game winning streak on the road. Still left to be played. Chicago at Chicago. Memphis at Memphis.
Nashville.
And, of course, Nashville, rather. And then, I'm sorry. And then, same thing. And, of course, St. Louis. Down in St. Louis. I don't know. I think it might be time to get a little bit worried. But they also say, they, being the experts, that they could lose out, still back in. That's the word, is that they could still, I mean, there's a lot of people not doing the right things this time of year where we can get a little help, as we say in the NFL.
But just like the NFL. Just like the NFL, there is a scenario where the Wild could get in by losing.
Right.
But they need help from a lot of different people,
right.
And so why not just seal your own destiny and just go ahead and win one of these next hockey games?
You want to take care of your own business, Gene Stallings would say. Take care of your own.
All they had to do last night was beat the Winnipeg Jets, the Wild, 44-27-8 going into the game.
At home.
Losers of two
they?
Straight at home, playing the Jets, 41-26-12. Their playoff fate on the line. With the win, Winnipeg moved into a better playoff position with 94 points, just 2 points behind our Minnesota Wild.
Oh, I mean, crap the bed.
Winnipeg came out stronger in the first period. Just when any team scores first on the Wild, the game is over, basically. It sucks.
I don't know what the deal is.
16-9 shot advantage.
Out of there.
The Wild outshot the Jets in the second and third periods, but how well the Wild have been playing can be switched to past tense, unfortunately, lately. They'd won 5 consecutive games, including 10 consecutive on the road, but now they've lost 3 straight. All of them in St. Paul. All of them. So much for the home of the home ice advantage.
Don't crap the bed.
They're crapping the bed. They are doing it right now, as you speak. There's no stopping them. There's no Depends to put on them. There's no Huggies. There's no that little plastic sheet to put on.
I mean, like, blow out a diaper, and, like, they poop all the way down to their ankles, mm-hmm. and then halfway up to their neck.
Mm-hmm.
can we still wipe it up with like one wet wipe and get them back on track?
Just all you need is one of those home of the home ice advantage terrible towels. But the Wild, seriously, shut out for the first time since November 26th. As bad as they were leading up to the All-Star break,
how much could you do? How much more could you do with what they were doing to get back in this? It's just going to the well too many times and then getting a break and taking a long, hard rest and then going, we got to go back and do that some more.
Are you putting the struggles of the Minnesota Wild right now on that four-game stretch?
Yeah.
The four games they had off.
It didn't help.
But I want to say Saturday to Thursday, and then they've lost three straight, or would you put it on the fact that they're just not being coached well enough? Because
I you know what? You can just hit the damned wall, and you get into a comfort zone when you're allowed some time away from the beatdown. And your body kind of comes back to life and you feel good. I know there's a little practice in there. And they supposedly had a couple really long sort of extended practices to kind of get them, you know, pissed off a little bit and staying with it. That's not like a game, though. I mean, that's not like a game. And if you don't come back with that same tenacity, whether you know it or not, you can come out all together at the same time flat. And I think that's what happened to them. They had just came out flat and they haven't found it yet. They lost their rhythm. And that's what sports are. You lose your rhythm and you lose your timing and you lose your, and then eventually it really craps the bed when you lose your confidence as a team to the point where you don't even want to talk about the power play. It's become the invisible ape in the room that's just scaring everybody. You just don't want to talk about it anymore. Like, no, you don't tell me. I didn't hear that. Let's not talk power play.
We're back to what happened at the beginning of the regular season when Thomas Vanek wasn't scoring and the power play and this and that. What's going on with the Minnesota Wild? But at the same time, don't you think, and I'm pushing this back on Mike Yeo, because the first game after that four-game stretch, they beat the LA Kings 4-1, the defending champions, on Saturday, March 28th. Then they had 4 days off. They played the New York Rangers, best team in the East.
Good team.
They were in the Stanley Cup Championship Series last year. Lost to them 3-2. On Saturday, lost to the Red Wings 3-2.
I mean, yeah, but look at that. I mean, we all knew that was going to... I mean, the crap was going to hit the fan. With the last eight games we were going to play, they were all contenders. I mean, tough squads. We're lined up against the toughest part of our schedule possibly right now. Home or away. We got tough teams every single night now for the last eight games. And I mean, if they win half of them, you'd take it, I suppose. I mean, they're all good hockey clubs.
They just need to win one more game. And do you see it coming tonight in Chicago, 7:30? Jim Rich is going to be on the phone here in just a second, by the way. Chicago tonight, at Nashville Thursday, St. Louis.
It's Memphis.
At St. Louis.
Are they
on
in
Saturday,
Nashville for real?
Wrapping up the regular season, the Predators, yeah. Right. All they have to do is win one of these.
Well, there are different scenarios that would allow us to get in, believe it or not, by losing out. But who wants that? Get it done. Put it in the bank. Start refining what you want to try to get done then in the playoffs. Draw whoever you're going to draw in the playoffs and get a game plan together. And as Denny would say, we like to plan our work and work our plan. I mean, let's get to it. I mean, get a game in so we can start thinking down the road here.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to the winner of the NCAA March Madness Bracket Tournament of the media and former Viking alumni, Mr. Jim Rich of Fox 9.
I thought there'd be fanfare, a little music.
There was fanfare.
You should see all the people down here. You should bring a truck.
There was fanfare. You just couldn't hear it through the telephone. But if you go back and replay. But yeah, no, you're a big deal, Jim Rich. We understand. That's probably why you were so late for the phone call, because you're dealing, kissing babies, shaking hands, signing autographs, all that stuff.
And all that.
Yeah.
A lot of endorsements coming my way on this.
I don't see you winning this thing. I mean, how do they categorize you as the winner when I see two people... Rather, three people in front of you, clearly.
Well, the media and the NFL, or the Vikings alumni, he won that bracket.
Okay, well, he was fourth overall for everyone included. Damn it.
Fourth overall. You know, cast your stones this way. Go ahead. That's all right.
Hey, you know, I have nothing to lose in this. I only gain in this thing. I only gain in this. Here's what we got going. Here's how it goes. You and I are going to enjoy some steak and lobster somewhere. It just depends where young Holson over here decides to go.
I'm thinking Subway.
You get lobster at Subway?
I don't know. Steak? Imitation crab, maybe, something like that. Not really sure. Jim, enough ballyhooing, enough celebrating. We're going to get down to brass tacks here. Just have a couple of minutes left with you. Minnesota Wild. Asked you yesterday if you're worried. Mike Yost said he's not worried. I'm getting worried, pretty worried. How are you still feeling with the Minnesota Wild being only 2 points ahead now of the Winnipeg Jets for that last and final wild card playoff spot? And then heading out on the road, Chicago tonight, Nashville Thursday, St. Louis on Saturday to wrap up the regular season.
I'm not worried. I'm with them. I think they'll be fine. It may be better to be out of town, as goofy as that sounds, but they've won 10 straight on the road. They've got their role going there. And, you know, they heard 4 days of everybody in the media telling them how great they were and what a wonderful story they are, and kind of sat back, kicked back, ate some Easter candy, and lost the mojo there for a little bit. And I think getting back on the road will get things focused. I mean, if they would have gotten a lead last night or gotten a bounce, it would have changed the whole dynamic of that game. But when the shot by Blake Wheeler goes off of Scandella's skate into the net, you know, really? Okay. And, you know, then Winnipeg could change their style. They could sit back and protect the lead versus going out and trying to make something happen. But there are some things that Mike Yeo's got to tweak with this club, and he's going to make some lineup changes tonight. We may see Jason Zucker back in the lineup. We may see some line changes tonight. I really think Jason Pominville is struggling right now. He's the one who's really fallen off the face of the earth. Zach killed himself last night trying to win that game. He was everywhere trying to set people up, and Pominville just wasn't on the same page. I don't know if you take him off that line, maybe put Stewart on that line, because now Nino probably won't play because he got drilled by a Dumba slap shot. Anytime you get in the way of that guy, somebody's going down, and he was the one that got picked off last night. So there could be some changes to the lineup that could be beneficial for everybody, and hopefully they'll get this done tonight.
Again, I just go back to the fact that I feel like Minnesota should put up one of those walls. The walls that is basically in Jerusalem. I want to say there's one somewhere else. I saw it on the news
China.
A couple of days ago.
There's one in China. There used to be one in Berlin, too.
There's a big one in China. There's one down in the southern border of Mexico. Not only to keep our guys like Blake Wheeler from Plymouth and then Drew Stafford, who attended Shattuck St. Mary's in Faribault, keep them here in Minnesota, but then also stopping those damn Wisconsin people from jumping the border and dropping anchor babies and taking all of our jobs. But that's just a completely different story. Jim Rich, look at the time. We've run out of time. Unfortunately, we're going to have to let you go. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We've got to get to Hardball with Mike Berardino.
Can we just spend my next segment 15 minutes talking about how I conquered the pool?
We'd love to let you do that, but you were tardy. I have to assess this.
Not tardy, tarded.
During a break, I have to go back and think about what I'm going to do as far as disciplinary action with you. But I'm going to have to bring on some Hardball and a little Mike Berardino and try and cover up for this. And I'm hoping you can understand.
Hopefully my fine will be less than Tory's.
How much was that, by the way?
It's not out there yet. Maybe Mike's third.
Okay. Well, we'll get the wrap on that a little bit later, but you need to stick tight and not try and leave the country.
In coming back, we'll play what Torrey Hunter ended up saying after the game about the umpire, Joe West. We'll talk all about that with Mike Berardino coming up next, but yeah, he didn't have kind words to say, let's just say that.
Jim Rich, congratulations on the bracket. You were fabulous. Thank you for your time, as always.
Thank you.
Part of your citizenship.
And thank you all.
Good guy.
There he goes. Son of a gun. I mean, I'm going to hold up his chart to you. We're going to take a little break, but I'm going to show you what his bracket looked like. Okay. He only missed 15 games total.
Good Lord.
15 games. That was all he missed in the entire tournament.
And he got Duke correct.
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
Oh, yeah. He had Wisconsin in there, too.
Oh, I hate that guy. That
pisses me off so bad. Anyway,
gotta take a break.
Take a little break. We come back with all a little seam head talk. Mike Berardino, the crusty one.
Here for the Minnesota Twins today.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
The information in the head of here, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him leading the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
You know, we come out and do our job every day. That's what I do. I come ready to play and do my job. I battle at the plate. We ask you to do your job as well. And Joe West needs to do his job. He didn't do it well.
We just want him to check, man.
That's it. That's all you have to do. That's it. That's just part of the game. I'm battling my butt off, one of the best closers of our time, and he just took the bat right out of my hands. I don't know why he did it. He just walked off. So obviously he knew he was wrong. You know, if I'm going to get fined for saying this, Joe West is wrong.
Well, very pointed. Very, I'd say very upset, Torrey Hunter, on the blown strike three check swing called yesterday's game against the Detroit Tigers, where they lose.
It
wasn't a check swing.
And Joe West, all he had to do was go down to look at first base, the umpire down at first base, and say, was it or not?
All Torrey was asking for.
Well, home plate umpires, and Mike Berardino can add to this, but home plate umpires should not be calling check swings. That's why they defer to the first or third
Better
base
view.
Umpire.
Absolutely. And now we bring on the cantankerous, the belligerent, and sometimes crusty Mike Berardino.
Hello.
Brought to you by the very refreshing Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins have never tasted this refreshing.
Mm-mm.
So good.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah.
After
yeah.
opening day with the Minnesota Twins yesterday, they already have a day off because it's tiring. So tiring.
You just know why tough. They do it. You know why. It's because of weather. Early season, inclement weather.
Of course.
Protection.
Well, get those guys out there. Pick up a damn bat and go play. I mean, for God's sakes, if it's rainy, I don't care. If it's lightning, I've been off the field a couple of times for lightning, I guess.
I'm not necessarily worried about the Minnesota Twins. What I'm worried about is Mike Berardino and his safety and trying not to get murdered while having that off day in Detroit, for God's sakes. Are you okay? Are you in a bunker somewhere? Are you in an undisclosed location? Have you peeked out into the world in Detroit? And how's it going there?
It's not so bad. I can report to you that it's gray and it's more chilly today than it was yesterday, but playable. I think that it's going to be a lot like this tomorrow. So on your TV, it won't look quite so enjoyable. But, I went to lunch. That's about all I got for you. I didn't find anything. I've been working on expenses today, long spring training expenses and such. But I can report that... at the end of a business day in MLB, that they are still reviewing the matter, I was told by an MLB spokesman, on this Torrey Hunter, Joe West thing. And, I wouldn't expect any major fine. I certainly wouldn't expect any suspension in going back through the way they usually handle, like B.J. Upton, or now Melvin Upton Jr. When he was B.J. Upton a couple of years ago, he was fined $1,500 for verbally... bothering an umpire. I think that was on the field, though. But to go in there and have some time to cool off and then rip the umpire, it might jack it up a little. I don't know.
So, I mean, when he said that to you yesterday, I mean, he kind of called his own shot, like Babe Ruth, no pun intended. But, I mean, he was saying that he was probably going to get fined for that. I would be surprised if he wasn't fined for that, Mike. I mean, to come out, like you said, after thinking about it and still going through with it, that might draw a fine.
Well, it was premeditated. There's nobody pushed him into it. For instance, we were told as we finished up with Paul Molitor post game by Dustin Morse, that the PR director, that Torrey was ready to talk. That's unusual. Normally, we would go get Phil Hughes or that day's starting pitcher first, and then when we went to Torrey, he was talking to Dustin and. It was clear that he had a message to deliver, and he said right in front of us, he said, "I'm going to light him up," and then he started. So talking about Joe West, I think Torrey, if indeed he gets fined for this, he knew that would happen. Like you say, he said it within the context of his remarks. He was very calm the whole time, and it was only a couple minutes worth of material, but it just was outstanding. If you want to deliver a message that. Maybe he felt the Twins weren't being given, the full treatment that they deserve as they try, even though they're losing 4-0 at that point. Again, if Torrey Hunter gets on base and Kenny Vargas comes up as a potential tying run against Joe Nathan, who is blowing many saves. So, the little aside to this, after we did the show yesterday, guys, I walked back to, I just ignored Ben's advice, and I walked back from Comerica Park to the hotel, and I survived. It was still light out there. A lot of drunk people out. It was opening day, and that's how they do it here. A lot of just drunk people, running through the streets. But I made it through all that. No cars were on fire yet. That's an October thing.
And couches. Don't forget the couches.
Few sofas.
I get on the elevator, and you're never going to believe it. It's Kerwin Danley. And I believe who was the first base umpire yesterday, and one of the other guys, I think it was DJ Rayburn from that crew. And so I have my work bag with me. I met him before, but I don't know that he recognized me immediately. But I said to him, did he go? And he goes, go where? And I pointed at him. I said, Tori, did he go? And he just shook his head and smiled, and he was not going to take that bait. But,
of course not.
I thought he held up. And I said, but you got to turn the page. And the other guy was, I think Rayburn was just standing there smiling, and they were not going to say anything because, again, they're a crew, and that umpire crew stays together for the bulk of the year, vacations aside. So if Joe West was out of line there, it's possible that baseball will at least talk to Joe West on this one. That they're in reviewing the matter. They're certainly talking to Joe. He's the second most veteran umpire in baseball. I've known him for a long time. I do think that he's a fine umpire. They wouldn't keep bringing him back, but he does tend to get in the middle of some of these things, and a lot of them tend to happen to the Twins, don't they? A lot of that was Guardy-centric over the years.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Thanks for the update. We talk Twins baseball with Mike Berardino from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com. We call it Hardball every day at 5:30. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins have never tasted this refreshing. Enjoy the rest of your day off. Again, try not to get murdered in Detroit. We'll talk to you tomorrow, another noon game. And I want to bring up the fact of I'm not even sure what it's called, the play clock or what. I mean, the clock that's been ticking down. Get an update on how you think that's going tomorrow. Mike Berardino, okay. Thank you, my friend. We appreciate it. Thank you for being in good spirits today.
See you guys.
Yeah.
He's delightful. I think it's fantastic. Some of the people that he rubs elbows with as well. He's just, and I don't know if you watched a lot of game shows when you were a kid growing up, but sure. I did. And I can't believe he ran into Gene Rayburn. I thought Gene Rayburn was dead, but I think that's fantastic. Match Game 78 was one of my favorite shows of all time. Up next, Mike's Break. I don't know what we're going to talk about. We're probably going to end up talking a little bit about Tyus Jones, I think, because we got to find out what the hell he intends to do with himself next year. What's he going to do? Is he really? Bob Sansevier goes on record saying he's going to come out and play in the NBA next year. Is he ready or not? That's the question. 651-989-9105. If you want to comment on the star of all stars, quite a celebrity in this town as of last night, Tyus Jones from Apple Valley, outstanding player of the tournament. We're going to talk about that next.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
Because people like to say salsa.
I like to say salsa. I like to spell hell nah. That last part, N-A-H. Nah. Hell nah.
Hell nah.
Hell nah.
Hey, Mike is kind of a prick.
Hey, Tori, for God's sakes, get off your high horse. He was not bad today, okay?
Yeah, he wasn't that bad. Or maybe he was talking to me. I don't know. And then he'd be right. He's talking about me.
Well, I like how you introduced him today, and I think he got a little chuckle out of that. I think if you give him the cantankerous and what else is crotchety, crusty,
he was a little belligerent today. He was a little bit cantankerous.
Yeah, he talks an awful lot. I know this is a talk radio sports show. I get that, but he talks so much.
I mean, he'll wear you out. I mean, he drives me crazy.
He's a talker. You talk too much, too. It's like all you
should
do
talk.
All day.
You should
just
talk.
Yap.
I'd like to have a nickel for every time you went over 5 minutes.
I've got a question for you.
Go ahead.
The NFL wanted Adrian Peterson to go through his counseling, the NFL's counseling program. He didn't. He's done court-mandated counseling instead. Will that be enough?
Say that again. I mean, I thought he went and did the whole protocol of what Goodell wanted him to do with the people out in New York.
Well, he met with her today before he met with Roger Goodell, but he hasn't been taking part in the NFL's counseling program. He did do the court-mandated program.
I thought he was supposed to do both before he could talk to Goodell about
being reinstated. He did talk to her today before he met Roger Goodell.
I understood, but I mean, as a client, it was to go see her a couple times. I mean, it sounded to me like there was therapy that was supposed to be scheduled.
Well, he did that through the court-mandated therapy in Texas, but he didn't do the NFL's mandated therapy.
I thought he had to do both. Seriously, I thought he had both. There was a whole list of things he had to do.
Sure, but the NFL, I mean, it wasn't part of the collective bargaining agreement, so the NFL Players Association said don't do that stuff that he's trying to get you to do because that's not part of the rules and he has no authority to do that. And
I think the last people in the world right now to listen to would be the NFLPA. That'd be the last people that I'd want to take advice from because if they're going to lead you in this one, which they already have led him down the wrong path a couple times, to me, it seems like they have been kind of a thorn in his side to try and get him to do things their way because they want to make precedence of this case for ball players in the future. But do it the way the league and the commissioner told you to do it. That's how you'll get your way, not by what the NFLPA says.
But you were a member of the NFLPA for how many years?
Oh, we all are. I mean, yeah, I still am an alumnus, but
so
13 years.
And they told you if you would have been in trouble, and they said, and your brethren that play in the NFL came right to you and said, hey, Mike, we understand that this might be a sore situation for you, and you're supposed to do these things that aren't necessarily involved in our collective bargaining agreement, but for the betterment of us all, you might have to take a little bit of a bullet here. For the rest of us, will you please do that for us? We'll fight tooth and nail for you, but we're looking at the bigger picture here. What do you do? Do you turn on the rest of your brethren?
I look, if they want to use it that way, if they want to use that kind of leverage or that type of psyche on someone or me, well, I'll just speak for myself, is I'm in it for me. I took care of me in the NFL.
But they're taking care of you. Don't they take care of you?
Well, okay. So if you want to take care of me, let's get the pension right. Let's get the severance pay right. Let's get the retirement and everything squared away and better medical and a little more win some cases and get some other things on the board for us, the veterans who are retired now from the game. That would be helping me. But I mean, your advice on other things, I don't know if I need it. I don't know if I need too much more of your help. But I'll take care of Mike. But the NFL things, the things that I played for, collectively, if you want to package my deal and make it a better one because we have the worst labor contract in professional sports, bar none. I mean, we don't have a great severance or pension plan. We just don't. We've already gone back and revised it, and it still isn't even remotely close to baseball, basketball, and hockey.
But let's just face the facts and say that if you were in some sort of legal issue, which you wouldn't because you're Mr. Goody Two Shoes. You don't prank anybody. You've never stolen a van.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And you, I mean, you're, when
there
it,
is that.
When it comes down to it, you're basically Mother Teresa. But,
yes.
And just to be fair too, you never made $12.75 million in
nope.
the NFL per season, by the way.
No, I didn't.
And so you might need the NFLPA in their coffers more than Adrian Peterson would. And so would they have you maybe a little bit over a barrel saying, okay, well, if you want to appeal this to the NFL and you want to appeal this to federal court, it's going to cost all this money. Do you have the money? No, you probably don't or don't want to spend it on that. You have four kids. You have a wife. You have this house. You have a life. You have a family, mm-hmm. parents, brother, sister, all these things. Your posse, by the way, which is deep.
I've got a hairstylist and I've got also a couple people.
A manicurist, pedicurist.
Chef. I've got a chef, private chef.
A French maid.
A pilot.
They don't,
Pilot. Uh-huh. I've also got a couple of businesses that I need run. My floor finishing business in Hollywood. Also, I have my pig farm. Mm-hmm. I also have, what was the other one? I worked for Hugo Boss for a long time, too. I was a model. He used to let me keep the socks. I was a hand model for Palmolive, too. No, I didn't make that kind of money. I was no good at anything. I could long snap, but that was it. I would probably need help if it got really sticky, if it became like an issue where it was really a serious case that you couldn't afford to pay out of your pocket, is that you could go by the way of the NFLPA.
But then they get to take control of the message, which is kind of what happened with Adrian Peterson.
Of course you do.
In my opinion, the biggest mistake Adrian Peterson made was getting involved in letting the NFLPA.
I agree.
Control the message that he had.
I agree. He had his own people. He paid out of pocket for his own people. What's his name? Gus? Or what was his name?
Gus Carson.
Rusty.
Yeah, Harden.
Rusty Harden. Good attorney. Several attorneys. And then he's still even paying out of pocket, and he would have gotten him out of whatever he needed to get him out of, but he went NFLPA, too, for the boys. I don't know.
But the NFLPA probably came to him and said, you're Adrian Peterson, you're the face of the NFL, or one of them, and one of the top five faces, and we want to fight this for you because we don't think blah, 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 blah.
Well, they were going to have to use this as a case for anything and everything that they'll ever do in the future regarding this type of a crime. It wasn't a crime. He didn't commit a crime. He was let off, so it was a settlement. But anything like that.
No contest to a misdemeanor.
No contest to reckless assault. Okay, if you want to get technical with it. But they were there. They have to do something to put something in place in writing for the NFLPA. And so does the NFL. And they don't really have it down yet either. They thought they would have it done by the Super Bowl. They handed out something really shoddy that isn't complete yet. It still isn't complete. But Adrian kind of had to follow suit in some of that because he's such a big name. If it was me, it wouldn't have been a problem. It wouldn't have been like this. But anyway. Who's this Tom Schreier?
No idea.
Colt Omaha. I've never heard of it. 105 The Ticket, I've heard of that. Do we let him in? Is he here?
Yeah, we'll let him in.
Is he that guy that laughs really funny?
Yeah.
What does he sound like? Which one is it? The guy that laughs funny, right?
Yeah, he's the funny guy that laughs.
Oh. Yeah, let him come on in. Colt Omaha next, 105 The Ticket.